Macmillan Audio presents From the Notebooks of a Middle School Princess, Royal Crown by Meg Cabot. Read for you by Kathleen McInerney. By command of the Royal Palace of Genovia, you are invited to be present at 1 o'clock p.m., Thursday, the 31st day of December, for the coronation of Her Royal Highness, Princess Amelia Millionette Grimaldi Thermopolis Rinaldo. The throne room, reception to follow, dress, formal. Monday, December 28th. 11:30 a.m. Royal Pool. It's 3 days before my sister's royal coronation, the first coronation of a female ruler in Genovia in 2 centuries. I should be having fun, especially since it's winter break. My best friend Nishi is visiting from America, and I get to be in the coronation ceremony. But instead, I'm being forced to entertain my snobby cousin, Lady Louisa Ferrari, because her grandmother, the Baroness, is in Biarritz with her new gentleman friend. I'm bored, Louisa keeps saying. You're the one who said you wanted to work on your tan, I remind her. We're stretched out in the winter sun on chaise longues next to the pool, which is heated, but still. How can you be bored staying in a royal palace? Nishi wants to know. She doesn't mind hanging by the pool, because even though it's only 70 degrees in Genovia right now, it's 35 and snowing in New Jersey, where Nishi's visiting from. They have everything here. Tennis courts, horseback riding, sailing, mani-pedis, a state-of-the-art home theater, all the food you can eat, prepared by a 5-star chef. Yes, but hello, Louisa holds up her phone. The cell service? Horrible. What do you expect from a building that was constructed in medieval times? I ask. The walls had to be made 3 feet thick in order to keep out invading marauders. Yes, but now they're keeping out my cell phone service provider. Lady Louisa adjusts her floppy hat. She wants to tan on her body, not her face. It's no wonder the Duke hasn't been able to reach me. The Duke. That's all Louisa ever talks about. Her boyfriend, the Duke of Marlborough. I have a boyfriend, too. Well, a friend who is a boy, but I don't talk about him all the time. And I highly doubt that the reason Louisa hasn't heard from her boyfriend is because of the palace's thick walls. More likely, it's because they're in another one of their fights. All Louisa and the Duke ever do is fight, usually over the Duke's refusal to do anything except play video games, which would be all right if Louisa played video games too, but she doesn't. You know, Louisa, I can't help pointing out, you're living through one of the most momentous occasions in Genovian history. My sister's coronation on Thursday is going to be attended by over 200 heads of state and televised worldwide. Oh my God, I know, Louisa says with a yawn. You've only mentioned it 1,000,000 times. Could you please pass me the sunscreen? It's not really my cousin's fault that she's so rude. She actually has a pretty rough home life. Her parents are getting divorced, and according to my friend Princess Komiko, her mom and dad are fighting over who isn't going to get custody of Lady Louisa. That's why Louisa lives with her grandmother in the first place, a grandmother who is always jetting off to places like Biarritz with new gentlemen friends. I don't understand why your sister even has to have a coronation ceremony, Olivia, Nishi says. Isn't she already a princess? It's natural that Nishi would be confused about this, since she's from the U.S., and hasn't been getting the endless lessons on the coronation that we have here in Genovia, both in school and on the nightly news. Of course she's already a princess, I say. We both are, since our dad is a prince. But Dad is abdicating, which means giving up the crown, so that he can spend more time with me and Rocky. So, on Thursday, at the coronation, Mia will formally take over the throne from my dad. Oh. Nishi adjusts her sunglasses. But then, why isn't she becoming a queen? I sigh. Royal life is complicated. Because Genovia is a principality, I explain, which means it's ruled by either a prince or a princess, not a king or a queen. Technically, it's not ruled by either, Luisa says in a waspish voice. Genovians have a prime minister. The royal family doesn't actually make any laws. Their role is only symbolic. So it's not like Princess Mia will actually ever do anything once she's crowned. I suck in my breath, shocked. But before I can tell Lady Luisa how rude she's being, Rocky, my little stepbrother, comes bursting into the royal gardens, running at full speed, my miniature poodle, Snowball, barking at his heels. Olivia! He shrieks. They're here! They're finally here! Good grief, Luisa says, lowering her sunglasses to get a better look at him. What's his problem? What's yours? I want to ask her, even though I already know. What's here, Rocky? I ask him instead, when he skids to a stop in front of us. The robe of state, he pants, and the royal crown. No more hanging out at the pool with my rude cousin for me. I've got a crown to inspect. Monday, December 28th, 1:30 p.m., Royal Sitting Room. I knew something was going to go wrong. Something besides my having to entertain my awful cousin, Lady Luisa, all day and night, I mean. It seems like my family can never have an ordinary, universally televised state function without turning it into a disaster. And now it looks as if the coronation will be no exception. Normally, the royal crown is in a bulletproof glass case in the Palace Museum with all the other crown jewels. But because my sister Mia will be wearing it later this week for the coronation, it was sent out for cleaning. Now it's back and has been brought upstairs to our living quarters so that Paolo, the royal beauty stylist, can figure out which of Mia's hairdos will best keep it in place. We were all standing around admiring it and trying it on, even though the royal crown isn't supposed to be worn by anyone except the reigning monarch. But Mia said it was okay, because when will we ever have another chance to try on the actual royal crown of Genovia? I have a tiara, of course, made of real diamonds, but it's not a crown, since it doesn't go all the way around my head. And it's certainly not the royal crown of Genovia. It's so heavy, Luisa cried when it was her turn to try it on. It weighs 7 pounds, Mia informed us from the couch, where she was bouncing baby Prince Frank, the fussiest of the twins, in her arms. So you can imagine how much your neck would hurt after wearing it for a few hours. And it's worth over $20 million, my dad added, so please be careful with it. My neck doesn't hurt a bit. Lady Luisa stared at her reflection in the mirror. I could wear it all day. I've never worn anything worth $20 million before. Believe me, Mia said. One of the first things I did when I found out I was a princess was try to get Dad to sell the crown and donate the money to the orphans of Genovia. Pfft, said Grandmère scornfully. The orphans of Genovia don't need our money. They all have trust funds. The sapphires really bring out the blue in my eyes, Luisa said, admiring her reflection some more. Yes, I said, they do. Now, Why don't you give someone else a turn? She'd been wearing the crown for almost 5 minutes. What's that? Louisa asked, instead of surrendering the crown, pointing at a red velvet cape that was hanging on a dressmaker's dummy in the corner. Oh, I said, that's the robe of state. It's 200 years old. It just got back from the cleaners, too.
And a good thing it did, Rocky said, because that skunk fur trim smelled like farts.
That trim is most certainly not skunk fur, Grandmère said tartly. It is alpine ermine, and extremely rare. And the robe did not smell of flatulence. It smelled of mildew from having had champagne spilled on it the last time it was worn.
She gave Dad the evil eye, which he pretended not to notice.
The robe of state plays almost as important a role in the coronation as the crown. It is worn by the reigning monarch every time there's an important state function, such as a coronation, the opening of parliament, or the bachelor party of one's brand new son-in-law, apparently.
And traditionally, Dad said quickly,
the youngest royal in the family always carries the robe's train. And since Princess Elizabeth and Prince Frank aren't old enough yet even to crawl, Olivia is the one upon whom this formidable responsibility has fallen.
I tried to look modest when Nishi smiled at me, impressed. It's no different than when we carried Mia's train at her wedding, I said with a shrug. But it is different, since the beautiful lace train of my sister's wedding dress was a lot lighter than the Genovian robe of state's 20-foot train. I know, since I've already lifted the robe a few times for practice. I have no idea how Mia's going to get down the entire length of the throne room in that heavy thing, even with my help. We'd finally wrestled the crown from Louisa, who really didn't want to give it up, and we're trying it on Snowball just for laughs, when a footman knocked on the door with a letter that had just been delivered by special courier. I didn't think anything of it at the time. My sister gets letters delivered by special courier all the time. She's about to be the reigning princess of Genovia, after all, even if some people, Lady Louisa, don't think that's a big deal. But this letter was different. I could tell by my sister's face after she opened it.
Oh, no, Mia said.
What is it?
Her husband, Michael, asked. He was trying to bounce both twins in his arms. All the twins do all day, when they're not sleeping or eating, is cry. Having a newborn twin niece and nephew is not as much fun as I thought it would be.
More yes RSVPs to the coronation? Why does everyone wait until the last minute to respond to invitations?
Grandmère asked.
It's the height of rudeness.
No, Mia said, reading the letter. It's much worse than that. It's about our cousin, Prince René Alberto. Oh, I said. Is he the one who keeps getting arrested for illegal offshore gambling? No, Mia said.
He's the one who keeps contesting my right to the throne, and now he's doing it again.
Only this time, he's filed a cease and desist order in an attempt to stop the coronation.
What?
I almost dropped the royal crown, which could have been a disaster. It's very old, and the jewels aren't really screwed in that tightly. How can he do that?
He's claiming that his 8-year-old son has more right to the throne of Genovia than I do.
On what possible grounds?
Michael asked, looking outraged on his wife's behalf.
And since when does René have a son anyway?
Grandmère demanded.
I thought he and that horrid wife of his had a daughter. I distinctly remember the birth announcement. They named her Morgan. I sent her an Adapearl necklace, and every birthday since, I've been sending a pearl. Not that they've ever thanked me.
Morgan can be a girl's or a boy's name, Grandmère, Rocky pointed out. And boys can like pearl necklaces.
Well, evidently Morgan doesn't, Mia said. Or at least not enough, because his father is now demanding that I hand over the crown instead. My stepmother, Helen Thermopolis, shook her head.
What possible reason could Cousin Renee have to think that his son has more of a claim to the throne than you do, Mia? Is it because he's a boy? How typically sexist.
And Renee is from the Italian side of the family,
Grandmère practically screamed.
He's not even a Rinaldo. He's hardly even related to us.
Luisa looked hurt.
I'm from the Italian side of the family, she said, and I'm not a Rinaldo. Does that mean I'm not related to you?
Of course you are, dear,
Helen said, patting her on the shoulder, making me feel a bit guilty for thinking, sometimes I wish you weren't.
Princess Clarice is exaggerating. The Rinaldos and Albertos and Ferraris are all very closely related. And of course, the Italian border is only a mile away from here.
Well,
Dad said, scanning the letter, which Mia had passed to him.
This might explain it. Apparently, Cousin Renee and his wife paid for one of those home genetic ancestry kits that are so popular right now. And it turns out little Morgan's DNA is 99.9% Genovian.
What difference does that make?
Grandmère demanded. But I knew. Before the words were even out of Dad's mouth, I knew.
Well, he began, it means that little Morgan
doesn't have any American blood in him, I said, like we do. I tried not to sound as sad as I felt, but it was hard. I knew this whole princess thing was too good to be true. Not that being a princess is so important. What's important is that after spending most of my life living with people who never cared for me, I've finally found a family who does. The fact that they're royal, and so am I, has only been frosting on the cake. Of course, you can learn to get along with unfrosted cake, but life with it is so much sweeter. Well, not American blood, necessarily, Mia said, but they're claiming that Morgan's DNA is genetically a much closer match to the DNA of Princess Rosagund, the founder of Genovia, than either mine or yours, Olivia, because we have American mothers. Which, if you ask me, is simply
ridiculous,
Grandmère cried, rising from her seat.
Who has shown more of Princess Rosagund's devotion to the crown than either you or your sister? Why, it's because of you, Amelia, that Genovia has one of the highest gross national products in the EU. And you, Olivia, helped keep your school from suffering a humiliating defeat last month in the Royal School Winter Games.
Well, I don't know about that, I said modestly. All I did was take photographs for the school paper.
But that's certainly more than your cousin Renee has ever done,
Grandmère insisted.
How dare he imagine he or his son is anything like our noble Rosagund, whatever some DNA test says.
Wait, Nishi whispered. Who is Princess Rosagund again? Oh, I said. She is the one who, in the year AD 568, killed a Visigothic warlord and saved the country from being invaded. Genovia has been ruled by her descendants, the Rinaldos, ever since. Cool, Nishi said, impressed. Nishi is always impressed by princesses who use weapons and also have extremely long hair like Rapunzel.
Besides which,
Grandmère went on, still on her anti-cousin Renee rant,
Renee is an Alberto, so no matter what some DNA test says, neither he nor his child will ever sit upon the throne.
there have always been Rinaldos on the throne of Genovia. Thank you for that, Mother,
Dad said.
It was very Game of Thrones. Now, please, sit down.
How could Renee have gotten hold of a sample of Rosagon's DNA to compare with his son's? Mia asked. She's buried in a crypt in the royal cemetery.
Who knows?
Grandmère asked.
Who cares? There's more to ruling a kingdom than simple DNA. One must possess courage, compassion, integrity, intelligence. Which qualities, other than his alleged genetic superiority, does this 8-year-old have that make Cousin Renee think he's fit to rule? None. How dare he attempt to stop Amelia's coronation? How dare he? Now, Mother,
Dad said,
there's no need to shout. How else am I going to make myself heard above these shrieking babies?
She demanded.
Where in heaven's name is their nanny?
Grandmère, Mia said, you know we gave the nanny the week off for the holidays. Grandmère's face was turning almost as red as baby Prince Frank's, and he has something called colic.
The week off for the holidays? Right before the royal coronation?
I thought there was a strong possibility that Grandmère might explode.
Why? Why on earth would you do that?
Because the poor woman has been working for weeks without a single day off, Mia said, taking baby Prince Frank from Michael and trying to comfort him. And it's Christmas. She'll be back by the coronation on New Year's. We can handle this. Or at least, I saw her hesitate a little. I thought we could, before that letter from Prince Renee. Grandmère sank into an armchair, clutching the fur collar of her vest.
No nanny,
she murmured.
No nanny, and there's a coup afoot. May the good Lord help us all.
I don't get it, Nishi whispered to me. How can these people say that you and Mia have no right to the throne just because you're part American? I don't know, I said with a shrug, but I'm sure it will all turn out okay. Nishi didn't look convinced, probably because of the scroll on the bottom of the television news station that Dad had just turned on. It said, Royal Wreck. Apparently, Cousin Renee had sent a copy of his letter to the press as well as to the palace this morning. Aren't you a little bit worried? Nishi whispered to me. No, I said. Not at all. But I was lying. Of course I'm worried, especially since a little while ago I overheard Mia saying to Michael, when she didn't know I was listening, why does this kind of thing always have to happen right when everything seems to be going great? Why can't I just have a nice, normal family like everybody else? Michael said,
because no one has a nice, normal family. There's drama in everyone's family.
Not like this, Mia said. My family seems to have way more drama than anyone else's. Which is so true. And I know why, too. Because other people's families don't have thrones, not to mention crowns, over which to fight. Monday, December 28th, 8 o'clock p.m., Royal Dining Room. Dinner started out super depressing, and then it got amazing. Depressing because Mia, my dad, and Michael weren't there. They were busy doing stuff with Cousin Renee's court case, and Helen was busy looking after the babies, which just left me, Nishi, Louisa, Rocky, and Grandmère to eat Chef Bernard's award-winning roasted prawns. Amazing because of the phone call I got in the middle of one of Grandmère's speeches on the importance of knowing one's royal duty.
The future princess, or prince, of Genovia has a great many challenges ahead of her,
Grandmère was going on over her prawns.
One of them is to make sure that every citizen of this country feels as if they are part of this community, and that none of the rich culture and heritage of this country is lost or forgotten in an era when most people won't even look up from their screens.
It took me a minute to realize she was saying all of this because she'd caught Louisa checking her cell phone under the dinner table, a major etiquette don't at the palace dining table. "Oh," Louisa said when she noticed Grandmère's death stare. "I do beg your pardon, Your Highness, but I'm expecting an important call."
"Are you, my dear?"
Grandmère asked acidly.
"From the Prime Minister?"
No, Louisa said, slipping her phone back into her bag. It was a Claudio, of course. Lady Louisa only ever carries Claudios. "My boyfriend, the Duke of Marlborough."
"Your boyfriend?" Grandmère said. "The Duke. How nice. You do realize, don't you, that unless it's an urgent matter of state, phone calls at the table are an abomination?"
"Well," Louisa said snootily, "I doubt Princess Mia actually gets that many calls that are urgent matters of state." This was not the right thing to say. Grandmère nearly upset the silver tureen of vegetables, lightly coated with Genovian olive oil, that one of the footmen had been about to pass to her.
"I will have you know, young lady, that there isn't a charity in this country that a member of our family hasn't helped raise awareness of or funds for. The Prime Minister is most indebted to us. The money we generate in tourism alone has kept Genovia's economy afloat for decades. And for centuries, the princes and princesses of Genovia have also acted as ambassadors, diplomats, and even warriors for this country, saving it from invasion and ruin time and time again."
Louisa's big blue eyes widened even further than they had when she'd seen her reflection while wearing the royal crown.
I'm sorry, Your Highness. Of course I knew that."
"Then why is it," Grandmère asked, "that you told my granddaughter Olivia that it wasn't like Princess Mia would ever actually do anything once she's crowned?"
Louisa swung her wide blue stare accusingly at me, but all I could do was swallow the mouthful of prawns I'd just taken and shrug. "What?" I whispered. "I didn't tell her, I swear." I hadn't either. But I'd always known that Grandmère had hearing like a bat, which, by the way, uses echolocation to find its prey. I would have stuck around to hear Grandmère yell at Lady Louisa some more, except that at that very moment, my phone vibrated in my pocket. When I snuck it out and looked down at the screen, even though, of course, I knew doing this was very wrong, I saw that it was Prince Khalil calling. I said, feeling myself blush. "Pardon me, but may I be excused?"
"Retiring for the evening so early, Olivia?"
Grandmère looked bemused.
"It's not like you to miss dessert."
"Oh, no, I'll be right back," I said, already out of my chair. "I have to go to the bathroom. I mean, the toilette." I felt terrible for lying, but it was for a very good reason. I hadn't spoken to Prince Khalil in 7 days, except for a few texts. He'd been in Paris for the holidays, visiting his grandmother. I had to take this call. Grandmère frowned.
"Well then, by all means, go," she said, waving her hand.
There's no need to announce your exact destination to everyone when leaving the table, you know, my dear.
Right, I said. I know. Sorry. Thanks. Bye. I'll be right back. I didn't wait to hear what anyone said next, although I was fairly certain Rocky giggled, as he always does when anything to do with a biological function is mentioned. I wasn't going to blow this opportunity to speak to Khalil. That's why I ran down the hall toward the nearest lavatory, then out the French doors and into the Royal Genovian Gardens to press accept and also to write this, because if answering the phone in front of your relatives and best friend is rude, so is writing in your diary. But what was I supposed to do? Prince Khalil is my boyfriend. Sort of. I'm not actually allowed to have a boyfriend because my dad doesn't approve of girls my age dating. I only turned 13 last month, which is also when Prince Khalil wrote me a letter telling me that he likes me more than any other girl he's ever met. He didn't say he loves me or anything, and I haven't told him that I love him. But he is a boy, and he is my friend, and we hang out together a lot, and there is no other boy who I like better, or who makes me feel more tingly when he smiles. So I guess, technically, he's my boyfriend, even though I'd never call him that, especially in front of him, or my dad, either. I don't know what else to call him, though. Boyfriend sounds so, I don't know, like something Lady Louisa would say. And that's fine for her. I just don't know if it's right for me. Anyway, I should be allowed to answer a call from my friend who is a boy if I want to, although not at the dinner table, of course. I know that's rude. I've never had a friend who is a boy before. I seriously have no idea how I, of all people, got one, especially one as nice and funny and intelligent as Prince Khalil. I still sort of can't believe it. Hello? I said, once I'd gotten to the privacy of the Royal Genovian Gardens.
Hi, Olivia,
Khalil said.
Sorry if this is a bad time to call. Were you eating?
Oh, no, I lied. No, it's cool.
Great. I just wanted to let you know we're back in Genovia. My parents and I arrived on the 7:30 train.
Oh, I said, grinning like an idiot at the sound of his voice. That's a good train. That's a good train? What's wrong with me?
It is. So when can I see you? I missed you.
I laughed. It was so good to hear his voice. Also good to hear that he'd missed me, because I'd missed him too, more than I liked to think about. I can't wait to see you too, I said. The thing I like best about Prince Khalil, besides how kind and thoughtful he is that he can always make me laugh, even when I'm sad or upset about something, which isn't very often, but does happen sometimes, such as now. Also, we have a lot in common, since we both want to be scientists when we grow up. Khalil loves herpetology, and I love wildlife illustration, although, sadly for both of us, the royal thing might get in the way of our future careers. Still, I'm third in line to the throne, and Prince Khalil's country has erupted in a civil war, so there's a strong chance we'll both get to do what we love for a living instead of having to rule. I can't do anything right now, though, I said, because it's kind of late, and I've got my friend Nishi and my cousin Lady Louisa staying with me, and, well, I don't know if you've seen the news.
Yeah,
Khalil said.
I did. That thing about your cousin?
Yeah, that. I tried to laugh airily, the way Grandmère always does when someone expresses concern about something she doesn't want them to think matters, even though it does, like her tattooed eyeliner. No need to worry about that, though. The palace legal team is handling it. This wasn't a lie. Michael's sister Lily and all the other lawyers who work for my dad are scrambling to deal with cousin Renee's legal filing. I have no idea how, since it sounds to me like he has a pretty good claim.
Well, that's good, Prince Khalil said. Still, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I said. It is. But maybe we could hang out tomorrow? His voice brightened.
That would be great, especially because I have a surprise for you from Paris.
A surprise? I was shocked. From Paris? What is it?
If I tell you, then it won't be a surprise, will it?
No, I guess not. A surprise? What could it be? But... He laughed in a mock evil way.
You'll find out what it is soon enough. See you later, Alligatoridae.
I smiled. Okay. After a while, Crocodile-a-day. Prince Khalil and I always use the correct names for the families of animal species. It's our thing. Some people, such as my cousin Lady Louisa, might not find that romantic. But I do. Science can be very romantic, though not in a mushy way. It is romantic in a hands-on, evidence-based way. And nothing is as hands-on as a surprise from your boyfriend, or your friend who is a boy, whatever it might be.
Monday, December 28th, 11:30 p.m., Royal Genovian Billiards Room.
Well, it's past my bedtime, though it's a school holiday and I have no public events tomorrow, so it doesn't really matter what time I go to bed. But some of my guests don't want to turn in. Instead, they want to stay up and play with my baby niece and nephew, which I totally understand. It's fun to play with babies, when those babies don't actually live in your house and you don't have to listen to them cry all the time. And when you're royal, these are the kinds of things you have to do. Sacrifice your own personal happiness for the happiness of your guests and subjects, one of whom includes your snobby cousin Lady Louisa, whom no one, not even her own parents, likes. Actually, I guess you're supposed to do those kinds of things even when you aren't royal. It's part of what they keep talking about in school, having good character. But I'm so tired. I just want to curl up in my bed with Snowball and the nice book on the domestication of horses through time that Prince Khalil gave me for Christmas. I gave him a book on snakes. We agreed that we'd always give each other books as gifts. Which is why I can't believe he's bringing me a surprise from Paris. The book on horses was enough. They're perfectly lovely, of course, Mia is saying to her friend Tina Hakim Baba, who just arrived from New York for the coronation. But we do feel a little overwhelmed occasionally. They never sleep at the same time. She's talking about the babies, of course.
And when one of them does fall asleep,
Michael says, looking a little dazed,
the other one wakes up and starts crying. They never stop crying. That's normal at this stage in their development, Tina assures him. She's in medical school, so she would know. The twins are going through their 6-week growth spurt. You have to feed them every 2 to 3 hours or they'll get cranky. It's an inherited trait, sadly,
Grandmère says, taking a sip of her evening cocoa, which I found out the hard way a long time ago by taking a sip isn't really cocoa.
Your father cried for 6 years straight. That's why I had no choice but to send him to boarding school. Thank you for that, Mother,
Dad says.
Well, you turned out well enough, Grandmère says. In the end...
Olivia, Nishi whispers, gesturing for me to follow her. Come here. I follow her from the billiards room to the palace hallway, wondering what could be going wrong now.
Maybe she'd seen Louisa sneak upstairs and stuff the royal crown into her overnight bag. But I don't see how that could be possible, since I've been watching Louisa all night, and she's done nothing but check her cell phone for messages from the Duke. Still none. Olivia, I have an idea, Nishi whispers to me. What if we were to offer to help out with the babies until the royal nanny comes back? We could make a fortune.
You mean babysitting? I'm confused. Like, for money? But I already babysit all the time.
It seemed like every 5 minutes, someone was saying, Olivia, could you watch the twins for a second? And the second turned into 15 minutes, and the 15 minutes turned into half an hour. Not that I minded. I liked having a family who trusted and loved me.
Sure, Nishi says, but you're still doing it for free.
Yes, I say, because I'm their aunt. That's what aunts are supposed to do. That, and help sneak their nieces and nephews into horror movies when they're old enough. I know this from watching the Disney Channel.
But with the nanny gone, and your sister so busy with this lawsuit thing, we could actually make money watching the babies for her.
Nishi looks excited. We could even offer to babysit all the other little kids of the guests who are going to be showing up for the coronation. You know, if there is a coronation. I frown.
Nishi, how can you say that? Of course there's going to be a coronation.
Then I think this is one of those win-win situations. Your family can obviously use the help, and I, for one, could really use the money. I don't even get an allowance anymore. My parents cut it off last month, and they took away my cell phone.
I'm even more confused. They did? I haven't noticed not receiving any texts from Nishi, because she's been visiting, but I ought to have noticed she'd taken zero selfies.
Why?
She shrugs. They caught me kissing Dylan. They can't stand him.
What?
I knew Nishi and her new boyfriend Dylan had kissed, but she hadn't told me the part about her parents catching her or not approving of the relationship.
Why don't your parents like Dylan?
Shh, she whispers, since Louisa had overheard my what and was now getting up from her overstuffed chair by the fireplace and coming to see what we were talking about. Lady Louisa can't stand not knowing everyone else's business.
Dylan was a bit of a bad boy in the past, but it's not a big deal. If you think about it, the Beast in Beauty and the Beast got in trouble when he was younger, too. But with Beauty's help, he was able to put it all behind him.
Nishi, I say, I don't know how to break this to you, since I know how much you love that movie, but Beauty and the Beast isn't real. It's a fictional story.
True, Nishi says, but every fictional story has a grain of truth in it. And in this case, the truth is that everyone can change. My parents just don't understand that, so they cut off my allowance, took away my cell phone, and said I'm not allowed to see Dylan anymore, except in school, of course.
That is so unfair, cries Louisa. She's shown up in the hallway, just in time to hear Nishi's sad story.
I know, right? Nishi says. They almost weren't going to let me come here to see you, Olivia. Except that they thought the separation from Dylan might cause me to forget him, as if that would ever happen.
Oh, Louisa looks outraged. That's so evil.
I know, Nishi says, nodding. But it won't work. I love Dylan with all my heart.
Of course you do.
Louisa pats Nishi on the arm. As much as I love Roger. Roger is the name of the 12th Duke of Marlborough. It's their family's tradition to name every eldest boy Roger, which almost makes me feel sorry for Roger. Almost. I can't believe that Lady Louisa and my best friend are bonding over their boyfriends, both of whom seem equally awful. What kind of bad things did Dylan do in the past? I ask Nishi suspiciously. I want to think the best of people, like Nishi always does. But I know from experience, and Nishi should too, that people don't always have our best intentions at heart. I'm a living example. My aunt and uncle stole all the money my father sent them to take care of me when I was little and spent it on sports cars and vacations for themselves. Oh, you know, Nishi says, just normal things kids do. It's all so stupid. Way back in fifth grade, he got caught cheating on a test. I gasp. I can't help it. That's a pretty seriously bad thing to do. Louisa, on the other hand, rolls her eyes. Is that all? I know, Nishi says, laughing too. My parents are making such a big deal out of it. It is a big deal, I say. Dylan sounds like a seriously bad boy to me. I've never met him, but I already don't like him any more than I like Roger the Duke. Cheating? You could get expelled for cheating at the Royal Genovian Academy. It was in the fifth grade, Nishi reminds me. It's not like it mattered. Of course it matters, I explode. When you cheat, you're only cheating yourself. You'll never know how well you could have done if you'd only tried. Nishi looks even more confused. Did you read that on a poster in your guidance counselor's office or something? Never mind her, Nishi, Louisa says, waving a hand at me dismissively. She's just jealous because she's never been kissed, not even by a cheater. Nishi stares at me. You and Prince Khalil have never kissed? I can hardly stand the look of sympathy that appears on her face. Oh, Olivia, why didn't you tell me? More than ever before in my life, I want to strangle Louisa. But I can't, because I'm her hostess. Instead, I have to be nice to her. But it's really, really hard. My relationship with Prince Khalil is very new, I explain in my most reasonable voice. It hasn't progressed to kissing yet, and maybe it never will, and that's just fine with me. Everyone matures at their own rate. We don't even like that romantic mushy stuff. And anyway, not everything has to be about physical demonstrations of, "Ooh!" Louisa squeals. But it isn't because of anything I've said. It's because her phone has just dinged to indicate that she's gotten a text message. When she looks at the screen, her face is aglow with excitement. It's him! The Duke? Nishi asks, even though it's totally obvious from Louisa's joyous expression that it's the Duke. Yes, Louisa cries. It's Roger! And he says he's sorry for not texting me earlier and for being such a jerk. That's so great. Nishi jumps into Louisa's arms, and the two of them leap around the hallway, hugging each other and screaming as if they've just found out they'd won the lottery. Not even the regular lottery, but the Mega Millions. Well, I guess the palace walls aren't that thick after all, I want to say sarcastically, but I know they won't hear me. They're too busy having their ridiculous squeal fest. At least until Grandmère comes out and says, "Would you two young ladies please keep it down? If your jumping and screaming wakes the royal twins, whom we've finally managed to get to sleep, I will hold you personally responsible. We still have a dungeon in this palace, you know, and I have no reservations about sending you there to sleep for the night." Nishi and Louisa stop screaming and jumping, and instead hug all smugly, like they know some kind of secret that I'm not part of,
probably about kissing boys. But that's fine, because I know a secret, too. My dad had the dungeon converted to a wine cellar and state-of-the-art gym a long time ago. Tourists still pay €8 to see it as part of the palace tour, €4 for children, students, and seniors.